Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.
And I hear the first officer call out. And then the first officer jumps on the radio and he screams, "Holy shit, it's the goat man." And I mean, it just like everything went quiet. I could hear the ringing in my ears, and I could feel my heart race, and so I hit my lights and I went flying up there.
I'd been told by some older people, elders, that you grab them and you hold them and you don't own them, but you hold them there until daylight. If you can hold them or pull them into the light, it destroys anything they have. Any kind of power or anything they were trying to do to you, it'll destroy them.
This guy was like bouncing. Like, you know, like how you see people kind of getting ready to jig? You know how they kind of bounce? Yeah, he was like that way. He was just kind of bouncing, and he was just kind of going back and forth on one foot to the other. And he just kind of turned sideways, and he turned back over to the other way, and he took off. Holy shit, he jumped in Wanda.
Welcome back. You're listening to Lodge Tales, and I'm your host, Rod Williamson. This episode's got our first Apache guest. And we talk about a few things in here, but the main thing is that horseman. You know, we have one story of this horseman on a previous podcast with Arlen Potts. And it was the first time I ever heard of this horseman. And, you know, across Native stories, traditions, I don't know what you want to call it, even ghost stories or just anything like that, there's many, many stories of different spirits or entities or beings or that are like half man and half animal. There's quite a few out there. You know, just off the top of my head, the ones I've heard about are, of course, the horseman, then the goat man, a snake man. Geez, I haven't heard of a bunny man. There's one of the podcasts with a guest that wanted to remain anonymous. He talked about a bunny man. I mean, there's so many of these stories. There was even a story of this cow that was dancing with Taryn. Taryn's on one of these podcasts, and she talks about a story that she heard from her auntie like that, where it was upright on its back legs and it was dancing. Like, yeah. I mean, there's so many of these weird, strange occurrences, sightings of different things, you know. There's even what I don't hear a lot about is a dog man. But if you go back to my episodes, I want to say I talk about it in here because I think I've seen one of those. Not a totally 100% sure, but whatever it was, wasn't anything I've ever seen before. So then it was just a quick glimpse during a thunderstorm when I seen something like that. But there are other stories too. I mean, even the story of a Batman, where it looked like a gargoyle up on 7 Mile Lane. There's just so many different stories like this, and to me, they're all pretty fascinating. But here with Barry, we get more stories of the horseman and how it looks. These ones that he's seen down there in San Carlos, Apache Reds are four-legged, like the centaurs in Greek mythology. That's how he said they look. Well, recently when I was at the Ocon or Sundance, we were up telling stories at night, and one of these nights a guy I'm trying to get on the podcast. I don't know if he'll come on to tell his story, but he tells a story of a horseman there. So that would be two horseman stories from my res that I've heard in my whole life, just two. Whereas Barry has quite a few, and it's really, to me, an interesting thing to think about and to hear these stories of what they've seen. And so that's kind of my takeaway from, I mean, there's a lot of really good stories that Barry has, and the ones that stood out to me were of this horseman, because there's so many half-man, half-animal type stories, right? There's really an old story in our way, too, about this Wolverine woman that's in the mountains. And in this case, it's half... Well, it's not even a half Wolverine, half woman. It's just a woman. You know, she looks like just an old Indian, buckskins and stuff. Comes and will sit in your camp with you at night. Like, if you have your fire going, you're sitting up, she'll come and sit in there with you. And as the stories go, if, you know, you don't do stuff in a certain way, she'll actually kill you. So that's an old story, though. I remember that one. And how you get rid of her is you simply just take a piece of meat from what you're cooking and you throw it over your shoulder behind you, and you don't look back, and she'll go back there and get it and go away. So that's like the only way to get rid of that, to come out of that one alive, I guess. But again, thank you for all being here and listening to the stories. And, you know, I try my best to get as many episodes out as I can a month, like I've said before. And I'm still hanging in there. We still got some more interviews coming up, and I've got two more lined up. What I wish is that I had like a full year's schedule lined up. Wouldn't that be great? For me, it would. Because then I'd know what I'm doing. And it's not more so like a shooting from the hip kind of thing. But we got a few things in the works. There's a few of us here that have been approached. I was approached first by NPR. They have a podcast called Spooked. So if you haven't heard of that one, go check that one out. It's a pretty good podcast, Spooked. And this lady contacted me. Somehow she stumbled upon Lodge Tales, and she wanted to talk with me and have me tell some stories of my personal experiences. And along the way, she inquired about some others, and I kind of brought them up too. So, like, I think she brought up Angelo Bullplume, and then I brought up, well, there's Colden, and there's Mike, you know, there's Colden Gosson, and there's Mike Conley as well. And they've given me permission to use their names on the podcast, so it was fine. But I first got their permission to send the contact information to her, and then I sent her the contact information for them. So at some point, I mean, she just called me a couple days ago, and we were kind of figuring out a game plan on how we can get the stories all together for her and for their podcast from all four of us. And what she would like to do is meet sometime in Browning on the res, the Blackfeet res, and record all our stories at one time, you know, all four of us, be able to sit down with us. And I don't know what that's going to look like, you know. She might come to each one of our places and or wherever we want to meet and record with her, who knows. But I'm actually really looking forward to that, because depending on where you go and who you're going to meet with, of course there's going to be family members around, and when you get into those stories like that, these types of stories, geez, so many people chime in, and it starts to take on a life of its own, and you end up with a really good ghost story session that you guys are just involved with. So I'm hoping something like that happens at one point. You know, I mean, I think it will. Like, say she was to go from place to place and just sit down and interview them, I think that's what would happen at each place. Their families would start getting involved, but it would really be nice to share with the world, you know, with everybody out there, the Lodge Tales audience anyways, how that works. And it's all non-scripted, and, you know, one story reminds me of this, and then there'd be another person, hey, that reminded me of this one. I heard a story just like that, well, similar, but it goes like this, and, you know, it just eventually starts kind of turn like minutes turned into hours before you know it. It's what would I say, captivating when you're sitting there and you're in a part of that. Because we all have experiences and we all have things that we'll share. Not necessarily that they ever shared with the world, but during those times is when you hear a lot of really good stories, and that's something I've always wanted to share with the world, with the, my audience and everybody that supports the show. You know, it's really a interesting time that takes place, and if we get a time or we get a chance, I'd like to, you know, record some of those sessions so that we could, of course, put those out. It's just a matter of time. I mean, how do I set up all my equipment with everybody around and not have all the dogs barking and all the kids yelling around and horseplay? You know what I mean? Because that's kind of a concern of mine, too. I want to get the audio, but at the same time, I don't want to make it like, you know, hey, run them all off. Run them into their rooms. Or, you know, I just want it to be good, you know, just normal, relaxing, whatever. Organic, I guess you'd say. But yeah, let's get into Barry's stories. But real quick before we do that, just remember to share this podcast wherever you can, because it is growing, and it's thanks to people like you guys listening, and I really appreciate that. So share this podcast where you can. Remember, if you want to listen to the members-only episode, you have to do it on Patreon. That's the only place I know of that I can set up to have any of these episodes monetized. And I only do the members-only episodes there. So if you want more, you got to go on to patreon.com, create an account, put in your info, like your payment info, and then there's membership tiers on Patreon. But you can also listen to any of the episodes, the free ones on Patreon. You can listen to them all on there too. It's just the free ones, they're behind a paywall. You'll have to pay $5 a month for those. But it's a pretty good deal, because you get so many extra stories from that, right? But again, I just want to thank everybody, Patreon members and all listeners out there, for listening to the podcast. And thank you to the people overseas that are not from the United States that just love to hear these types of stories. I'm happy to share with you, and I'm really honored that everybody tunes in. But I'd like to give a shout out to all the non-natives that tune in. We really appreciate your support. And to all of the natives that do listen, believe me, I love these stories just as much as you do. And I know a lot of you can relate. And a lot of times these stories bring you back home. They give you that feeling of being back home. Especially to the ones that are not living on the res, or to the ones that are reconnecting back to the reservation. I'm happy that you guys are all here and that we're all together and we're all enjoying these stories. I really appreciate you guys being here. Another thing I would like to kind of put out there before we get into the show is please try to, you know, do more for your elders. Please try to help people in any way you can. And, you know, maybe someday the things that you do will create a better world than we grew up in. If we could do that for me, it would really make me smile. It'd really make me happy knowing that any of us made an impact on someone else's life in a good way. So if you can find it in your heart to do, you know, a good deed every now and again, geez, that's right up there in my books. So thank you. Let's get into the show.
Okay. Hey everybody. My buddy Rod here just asked me to come on and tell some stories. My name is Barry. I'm from the St. Carlos Apache Reservation out here in Arizona, and I grew up here. I've been to a lot of places, but you know, Bayless, the town of Bayless here on the reservation, I've always been home, and this is where, you know, everything started, with me seeing and hearing and dealing with a lot of stuff. I mean, I've one thing that me and Rao just got in conversation about was he asked me if there was something that I had witnessed, because I do security out here at one of the construction sites, just overnight security, and I mentioned to him that, you know, last night I heard some horses running, and we got in the talk. He asked me about the half man, half horse. I told him, yeah, we call him Goofy out here. And there's been several incidents where I've witnessed, seen a being with a horse like body and human upper body. I know the Greeks call them centaurs, but out here we just call them Puffy. And there was an incident where I was at my grandma's house and with my brothers and my cousins were sleeping outside when we heard a horse, when it kicks the ground, all we heard is a couple of thumps, thump, thump, thump. And I happened to wake up, roll over, and a couple of my cousins, they were just laying there and you could tell they're saying, and I heard them say, shh, shh, quiet, quiet. But they were whispering to each other, and when I turned and looked, there was a horse standing there, and I just seen a man's upper body, and he was just standing there looking over us. I don't know what he wanted, but it just kind of freaked us out where we didn't want to move. Oh. And my grandma just came out the house yelling, "Nah, get out of here. Leave my kids alone." And just here, I just seen it reared up on its hind legs, and it kind of like just laughed and ran off towards the hills. That's just something that's stuck in my mind.
Oh, but it just laughed like a human, huh?
Yeah. I mean, when I saw it turn and run south into this mountain that we call Mount Turnbull, it's sacred to us, and it just, I thought I was going to see maybe the horse's head and the rider on there, but no. It was actual horse body with a human body, and there. It just started running, and I'm at that laugh is just something you never forget. It wasn't more like a human or anything I've ever heard before. Whoa. My grandma said that, used to say that they're bad beings that come from another place, another world, and they take people to go back to their world. Ooh. And that down at the bottom of our sacred mountain, there's caves that portals that can travel from their world to ours, and they can go back to it from ours, just the same as Bigfoot. Now, my great grandma, when she was alive, she used to tell us the stories about that, how the big hairy man used to come out from the cave, and said that the hairy man took one of her cousins and took her back to his world. Oh. A couple of the Apache braves tried to chase him down and get her back, but they couldn't keep up with it. And this was a time when Geronimo was around.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, there's a lot of history up in this mountains up here. A lot of stories about Bigfoot. one night, one of my cousins came running went over to my mom and dad's house. I was a teenager, me and my brothers, and he came running over, and, you know, Uncle Robert, something tried to take my sister. And we looked out, and we seen this dark figure just running south across the rail tracks. It was running on two legs, and my cousin could hear screaming from the bedroom, you know, got real high pitched, and my dad runs up, boys, let's go. So me and my brothers ran out. We used to make spears, you know, get some salt cedar staffs and file down a nice piece of metal, get some tire tubes and wrap around and make our own spears. And we grabbed those, and my dad jumped on his horse and had his 30-30 Winchester and took off riding. And we took off on foot, running after him. But man, whatever it was, it could run, because we didn't catch up to it. Even my dad on the horse couldn't catch up to it. And we just seen it disappear in the hills. I just remember seeing it was like a dark brown and just running on two legs. And it was big. It was like taller than most of the mesquite trees. And I don't come close to getting that tall.
Jeez. Yeah, my brother-in-law, he was out there getting wood. And he sent me a picture not too long ago. And they seen the footprints of one of them out there. And
yeah.
When I look at that picture, they look really weird, man. You know, because we all know how, when we hunt, we know how to look at tracks and kind of, you know, judge them. We grew up like that. So when I look at this one, though, man, there's just, something's off, because the foot itself is, it's really wide and almost looks blocky, like a block footprint. And you don't see any, it's like it steps straight down and then picks its foot straight back up. Like there's no kick in it or nothing. That's the footprint I seen that he sent, the best one he could get. And I just stare at that, kind of amazed. Like, how did this thing, how does it walk? Like, how did it make this?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been on the mountains, I don't know, many times with myself, and I always get this feeling something's watching. And I just get, you know, stand there real still and start scanning around slowly. You know, one spot I got that eerie feeling, and the only thing I had on me was a knife, a pretty good size, a buck knife.
Mm-hmm.
I took it out and started talking, you know, and, hey, I'm not bothering you. Leave me alone. I don't want any trouble, but I will defend myself. And that's what my great grandma used to always say, if you get that feeling and something's watching you, so just tell it. Yeah, that you don't mean any harm, that you don't want any trouble, and for it to leave you alone. But I just got that feeling like something was really out to get me, so I started walking toward where I was getting that feeling from, and next thing you know, I just heard, you know, twigs breaking, and whatever it was moving fast away from me through the mesquite, and I went to where I had that feeling where it was that, and I saw foot tracks, like you said. It was bigger than my foot. I put my foot right next to it, and it was maybe had a couple 4 inches longer than my foot. And I wear size 11s, and that was pretty big. It was wide too, where the toes are.
Uh-huh.
And the only thing I could make out was, looked like his big toe. The rest of the toes, I really couldn't see too well.
Jeez, and they gotta weigh a lot too. When you look at them, like how far they're pressed in. Like, oh, jeez, how do you? I mean, say somebody was trying to fake that. Well, if you got a wider footprint, it's harder just to displace the earth beneath it, right? But these things are pushed in, like, kind of deep, too. I mean, you take your little step by it, and, well, you don't even go in that far. And we got ridges on our shoes that kind of dig in. Those don't even go in that far, you know?
Yeah, I had a pair of hiking shoes on, and, you know, one of the ones I used to buy at Kmart.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't even make a good impression, too. I looked there and said, man, this thing is heavy.
Yeah.
But this was way before we had cell phones. So I couldn't take any pictures of it.
Yeah. Oh, one time we were out, there's this place called Big Rock. My brother-in-law took us out there, my wife and I, and his wife is my wife's sister. But anyways, we're just driving out that way, and we brought our rifles and stuff just in case. Well, it was kind of like in a winter, and we end up getting high-centered. And so we were taking sticks, and we're just kind of shoving them under there, and we're right at the foothills of the mountains. I mean, geez, not even a half mile over is where the mountains start climbing right there, and so there's pine trees around us and stuff like that, and there's clearings here and there dotted with pine trees all through there, you know, and they kind of get thick here and there. But in this place we was at, there's kind of like a clearing that was toward the mountains right in there before it started getting a lot of trees. Well, to our left of the road, so to the right would have been the mountains, to the left of the road was where we were kind of gathering sticks and shoving them under those tires. We got out, but I remember when we got out, I was standing there, and they were just pulling out, and he was pulling back around, and I start looking at those trees, and I start seeing things that didn't make sense, man. Like how it's like those trees were woven together, and it was making a symbol. There was a symbol in there. There's no way like the wind could do that. There's just no way. I mean, you know, you're out there.
Yeah.
It was unnatural. I mean, just put it that way. How that symbol, whatever that thing was woven together. The best way I could describe it was there was one tree coming up, and then another tree came down at about a 45 degree angle, woven through all of this, just perfect. And another one came from the bottom, and it was woven up at a 45 degree angle. It almost looked like this weird looking arrow, but you could tell it was like something did that. And then I remember we were back there a couple other times. There wasn't no snow, and we were walking around, and this one particular time, and I just kept seeing like things that were like a tree would be bent down, and then it would be like, I don't know, like bent to stay like that. And then there were other trees that went up along it and made kind of like ribs, but they were hidden. Yeah. They weren't obvious. The way they would, I don't know, man. It's just too much of a coincidence. Almost like they were laying down in there. So I have no idea what it was. I mean, I don't even have an explanation for it other than whatever was doing that was unnatural. It wasn't wind. It wasn't nothing like that. These were everywhere, too. They were everywhere.
Yeah, you know, I like going out to the wilderness. I like to go hiking, fishing, hunting. And a couple of years ago, I was out harvesting antlers. So I was out with my nephew, and we came across these pine trees that were bent at the base, and there had to been at least 10 that were just bent at the base, facing north, but all the other trees that were around it were standing straight up. It was just like this real small group, and I looked to see if there's might have been like a straight pathway for the wind to come down and bend it like that.
Mm-hmm.
But there was pine trees all around, so I was like, they can't just a wind couldn't just bend only these and leave all the other trees standing straight up.
Whoa.
And listening to you talk about how you said you came across the trees that were woven together, and I've come across this juniper tree. It was a pretty good, had a good base at the bottom, maybe 4 feet around the base, and it was bent over, and the trees were spread apart to, it looked like something was like living there. The ground was nice and level, and looked like it was swept. I tried looking for tracks to see if maybe a person did this and just using this as a place to, you know, hide out when there's a storm or during the winter or something, but there's no tracks around. Just finding stuff like that way is it's crazy.
Yeah.
this is time. I kind of freaked myself out on this too. I found a group of trees, but they made a perfect circle, and they were grown out. And I was looking at it, but something told me don't walk in the middle. And one of the trees that was, I mean, like just perfectly on the south side of the circle, there was a log that was like hung up on some branches that, and it looked like arms that were just sticking straight out. And there were two legs placed at the bait, like at the bottom. Towards the bottom of the tree, and it looked like a person was just hanging there. I was like, man, this is not a good sign.
Oh. Jeez, that'd be weird to see, man. I never seen anything like that.
Yeah, it's the middle of nowhere. I mean, we'll just walk around and look for antlers. But the only thing I could probably say is maybe somebody went through that area before I did. Maybe did it just for fun, but still, it gives you a creepy vibe, though.
Yeah. Yeah, like my wife's cousin was talking to me this one time, and he said, there's this place where they were elk hunting, and he said, as he's walking around in there, oh, there was a tree. He said it was a big tree, too, man. It was big. Yeah. And it was pulled up out of the ground, and then it was put back in the ground upside down. Those roots were in the air.
Dang.
Yeah, he said he's seen
that's
that.
Crazy.
He knows where it's at too. He said it's still there.
Yeah. There's a story I want to share with you. So, a couple of years ago, we had a lady go missing on one of our back roads. You know, she got in a vehicle accident and hit her head. She probably had some head trauma, but she was with some people. And they end up walking out and made their way to a store that had a payphone, you know. And they made a phone call to our dispatch. This is when I was a police officer. And told us about the accident and told us that there was still one person missing. So we rushed out there. We found the accident scene. Made sure that we started searching the area. I drove up and down the road just to make sure that maybe she might have been walking. We didn't find nothing. A couple officers stayed because this was the middle of the night when we got the phone call.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that search, unfortunately, lady go missing. Unfortunately, that, you know, that lady, we found her and she had passed on from dehydration. But the weird thing about it is when we set up an area to base camp, one of these washes that went south again towards this mountain, Mount Turnbull, we found foot tracks, and I knew it was hers, and I reported to my captain. Told him, say, hey, I found some foot tracks, and family members also seen it. Said there's foot tracks going south, but he made it known that everybody's supposed to stay where the vehicle's at and search north from the wreck. But I kept on telling him foot tracks are going south. He kept on telling me, hey, you're tired, just go home. But I remember right before I went home, I went to go check out those foot tracks one more time. But 10 feet away from the foot tracks was another set of foot tracks. Hmm. And this one had a bigger stride. The foot tracks were probably about maybe 6 feet apart.
Oh.
And the indention, the imprints were a lot more deeper, and it was bigger foot. So I brought that up to my shift was over, so I brought one of the day shift officers, told him, hey, there's foot tracks going south, and there's another set So we might be looking for two people instead of one. But they're disregarded. But when we found that person that was out there probably 3 miles away from where the wreck was, one thing that still bothers me to this day is there was no crows, there was no buzzards flying around, and there was no coyote tracks around. And this person was in a wash or a gully, and there was an overhang right next to her. I remember looking where that the overhang was, and all the weeds and brush was pushed down like something was sitting there. And along the side of the wash, looked like something was hanging and just rubbing against the side of the wash. But there was a bunch of there was a pile of that sand and rock that was piled up. And I was thinking, whatever that second pair of tracks that I had seen, I wonder if it was there watching over her and kept like all the birds and the predators away from the body.
Oh, yeah.
That's something that I always wonder.
Wow. Geez, that poor lady probably had a hell of a journey that day, geez.
Yeah. It was sad. I mean, the family, it was just something sad to experience, but one thing I could say is at least family had closure.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that we had found her.
Yeah. Yep. Geez, but it probably was, you know.
It's yeah.
Probably. Geez, it makes you wish you would have just stepped in and carried her to safety.
Yeah.
But probably just did what it thought it should, and, you know, at least help like that.
Yeah, because that's the same area where, unlike I tell my TikTok stories.
Uh-huh.
Ugh. Spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine. Discounts. Appointments. Online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
The hairy man, it's in that same area. The tall hairy man is what my grandma used to call it.
Oh yeah, tell everybody about your TikTok page too. And your podcast too.
Okay. Well, me and my cousin, we started up a podcast, and we started doing it called Paranormal Reservation. And there was another one that we started, Destination Reservation. Experiences that we went through being first responders, myself being law enforcement, and my cousin doing security. We also used to be firefighters here in the community. And we're going back to it. My cousin just recently got reapplied and got hired back on with the fire department. I'm heading back to fire school starting next month, and hopefully be back on the fire department coming soon. So I'm not done being a first responder. I still got a couple of years of me, and I'm going to put to good use.
Yeah.
And... but yeah, that's our podcast, is Paranormal Reservation. And my TikTok, I recently changed it to Cadet Rezzed Out Dad. So if you guys want to get a listen, I just started recently telling stories. every day I'm at work doing night security. And yeah, just have to listen to it. I hope you enjoy.
Yeah, there's some good stories in there. I was watching a few of those. You know, listen to a couple of your guys' podcasts and then watched a few of your TikToks. It kind of comes on my For You page now. Yeah, there's some good stories on you guys. Check it out. It's Tatted Res Dad, right?
Yeah, Tatted Out Res Dad.
Tatted Out Res Dad. Yeah. Yeah, check it out. It's a good one. Same with the podcast. It's funny. These guys really joke around on there a lot. Yeah, it's a good one.
I know. My cousin used to get, because he used to get all the that people messaging him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that a lot of them were telling him, said, man, you guys are stupid crazy. You guys made me laugh. Some people message him and he'll say, yeah, I guess we scared some people. And they said they're scared to drive at night listening to us.
That's how it gets, man. You start getting freaked out when you hear some of these stories. Jeez. Hey, how about little people? Do you have stories about them?
Oh, yeah. Ooh. So my grandma lives like outside of one of the communities, Bylas. There's this road called Telva Road.
Mm-hmm.
And she lived out there by herself for years. And I used to go stay with her during the summertime just to keep her company or whenever she wanted somebody to help her out.
Mm-hmm.
So she has a routine. Every morning she would get up, take care of her dogs, feed her chickens and ducks, and take care of her horse. So I heard her getting up, so I started getting ready. And then I could hear her walking out the front door, and next thing I just hear her yelling, ah, what's that? Get out of here. So I got scared thinking something was, or someone was out there bothering her chickens or trying to take her horse. And I came running out the side door, and she was facing towards her chicken coop. So I turned towards the chicken coop, and I had to, you know, wipe my eyes real good and try to focus. And I just stood there in disbelief. And inside the chicken coop, I seen this, I want to say a little man, maybe about 2 feet tall, wearing a loincloth, real black hair, holding a chicken egg like it was a basketball. And there was a second one standing outside the chicken coop, looked the same way. He had 2 eggs, one under each arm. And I was just standing there like, what? Am I really seeing this?
Mm-hmm.
And they start talking to each other, but I couldn't really understand what they're saying. And my grandma was just yelling at them, said, go chase them off. I was like, what they come at me? So I started yelling, go on, Zet, where's that? And Wazan is an Apache, so, you know, go on, get out of here.
Jeez.
So I started yelling that, and that one that's carrying the 2 A's just takes off running and is running towards the river. The one that's inside the chicken coop starts climbing up, gets onto the top, and climbs like a little ways down, and he drops to the ground and takes off running. I was like, oh, dang. that's just something that I thought I'd never see.
Jeez, they look like little natives?
Yeah. My grandma said they always come around and steal from her, even going to her house and steal stuff inside her house.
Jeez, do you ever kind of have an idea where they run to? Like, where do they go, I wonder?
The way they ran is towards the river, and me and my brothers, we go down there, but we always hear something moving around, you know, because it's real thick, you know, salt cedar. It's like, you know, you watch these movies in the jungle, and these military guys are going through, how thick it is.
Yeah.
And it's just like that was, I had to, you know, crawl through, climb up, and walk sideways through these trees. It's hard to see, and I always hear something running, and it's real low to the ground, like real close, like a how a baby runs.
Jeez, they probably just hole up in there then, huh?
Yeah, but there's been tribal members saying that they found some campsites up in the mountains, because we have an area, we live in a desert area, but when you go north, you come into a ponderosa pine forest, or we call it Point of Pines,
mm-hmm.
and along the Mogollon Rim, I have some buddies and some family members that are forestry in these areas that do training, and they said they used to get drop off in certain areas and they had to hike out or find another area to get picked up, and they used to say they found campsites, small little huts and small fire pits and like small dishes, and along the cliffs of that Mogollon Rim where Point of Pines is at, there's a lot of cave dwellings, doors that I have to get down on all fours to crawl inside and look around.
Oh.
I've seen them. Unfortunately, there used to be some that was close to the road, and you know, a lot of these people now, they're not too respectful about things.
Yeah.
And someone destroyed it.
Oh, jeez. Jeez, in our tribe, they're typically about a foot tall. And same thing. Yeah. They just look like little natives. And, you know, they're not funny looking, like disproportionate, like big head. Or, you know, they're just like us, but small, foot tall.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are people like... You know, I've even offered stuff to them, you know, just when I'm out praying and I'm putting out offerings, I'll even include them in those offerings. Yeah. And some people, geez, they just kind of make little clothes for them, too. Little, you know, like little buckskin clothes. And some of these guys, even, you know, that have the rights to make pipes, just kind of make them little pipes, too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they offer to them, too. And they're pretty, you know, in our way, there's... They got medicine, you know. There's old stories about them giving people medicine and stuff like that. And, you know, one of these guys, one of these holy men in our tribe, he always had one hanging around his house. Another guy who wasn't into the ceremonies or nothing, but he had one that kind of stayed there with him, too. And same with one of my buddies, one of his friends he grew up with. There was one that stayed at their house.
Yeah. That's something.
It is. They're everywhere, man. They're everywhere.
Yeah, after I told that story on TikTok, and I mean, I got people from the East Coast to the West Coast and from South up to North talking about it, saying, yeah, we got them here, and they're in our area, too. It's like, man, they are all over the place.
Yeah. I remember... Jeez, it was actually in the news. I want to say it was in, somewhere overseas in Europe somewhere. Like, geez, for some reason, I want to say it was in Ireland. Somewhere over there, they were building this tunnel for cars or trains or something. And they kept saying, like, you know, people just kept leaving. They'd head out for the day, and like, why are you guys leaving? And I can't remember the word they used for them, but you know what they were saying was those little people, they're in there and they're raising hell with us, so we're just going to head out. Yeah, they kept messing with them. They were in there digging, and those little people kept... They must have not have wanted them there or something, but yeah, it was in the news. Yeah, so they're everywhere, you know?
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it, because a lot of the... I like... talking with people from different nationalities and hearing them what their beliefs are and their folklores.
Mm-hmm.
And just I like to keep an open mind. Yeah. That's why I'm glad you're sharing a lot of your culture with myself. Just like here in Patchouland, we have our ceremonies too, called a sunrise dance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we have our mountain spirits that come down and they dance with us.
Hey.
I know a lot of people say they look scary, but they're there for protection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's five dancers. Four represent the four directions, and the fifth one's just one that chases off or warns off the evil spirits.
Jeez, that's pretty cool, man. I'd like to see one of those, because I always hear about them too, but I've never seen one. Like with ours, we can't film it or anything, you know, or take pictures there.
Yeah.
That's just
not supposed to, but some people do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some people just want to put it out there so they can get the review, but I don't care. I don't like to take pictures. The only pictures I keep is in my memory.
Yeah, I had a guy on here. He wanted to remain anonymous, but he was telling a story about one of these outsiders come in, and they were okay to be at the Sundance that year, but
yeah,
this one girl start kind of really pushing it, and she was recording them when these two guys, him and one of his elders, were talking, and he was teaching them things, you know. Basically, he was given rights, and then he was explaining those rights to him and how he goes about doing that part of whatever they were talking about. And this lady, she started videoing them, and she ended up going to town to, you know, people were all going to town to get water and whatever, and she ended up, you know, driving her vehicle in there. Well, here, she never came back. They're all wondering, I wonder where she's at. But she sent word back. She called that house, and somebody got word back to that encampment that she doesn't remember how she got there or what happened, but here she wakes up in a, you know, we're in Montana, Idaho, south of us. She woke up in a place called Moscow, Idaho.
Dang.
And she come to, and she was asking them, like, where am I? And they're just looking at her crazy, like, what do you mean? Like, you're in Moscow, Idaho. And she doesn't even know, like, well, anyways, the guy ultimately running the Sundance, he told her, you know, you're going to have to destroy that tape, or you're going to have to send it to me so I can destroy it. You know, if you keep it, it's just going to keep on like this, and we told you, don't do that, we told you. And, you know, you get rid of that, send it to me, or destroy it, but you're never welcome back here again. So,
yeah. Well, some people have to learn the hard way.
Yeah. You don't mess with that stuff, you know, and they're telling you what you can and can't do. You don't disobey that. They're telling you for a reason, you know. It's usually to protect you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of here, during the sunrise dances, a lot of these medicine men, they'll actually get out from the crowd and tell everybody not to record, no pictures. This is sacred to us. But, you know, there's somebody that's always off in the corner, has their phone out and still recording.
Hmm. Yeah, you could really ask for a... You could really step in the mud doing that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, because you don't know what will come upon you. If they say no, then it's something sacred, and they shouldn't be messing around. Well, because if it was strong medicine back in the day, it's still going to be strong medicine today.
Mm-hmm. Shit, it kind of reminds me, the other day, was it last night? I'm going to say it was last night. I was listening to one of these guys from back home talk. Ethan Renncrane, he was on a podcast too. He was on there. He's got a live, and I was just listening to him, kind of being bored. And One of my friends that grew up right next to me out on the creek out in the country, he was on there talking, and I kept thinking about this time when you know, we were just small. I think I'm only about 3 years older than him, but when you're kids, that's a pretty big gap, you know, in age. But I remember he was sitting there at that sweat lodge, but he had to watch the rocks, the fire, and when they call for those rocks, he had to bring them in. That was kind of his duties there at that sweat. And you know, usually I'd go get his older brother, who was my age, my classmate, and we'd go mess around, you know, go down that creek, go swimming, you know, something. Well, I remember he was the only one there, and so I kind of went down there, and I don't remember what we were going to do. I think we were going to go hunt, and so I went down there, and I sat by him, and I was just waiting for him, you know, and figured, well, if he needs any help, I'll just help him. I just sat there with him, and it was just quiet, because they were singing in there, you know. And we're just sitting there to try not to make noise, you know, be respectful to that sweat. And thing you know, we just start hearing, I don't know how else to describe it, but like an eagle was speaking Blackfeet. It was like that bird sound. It was really so like you and I, when we talk, you can tell that we weigh, you know, we have some weight to us. We're not like 10 pounds. You can tell we're much heavier than that.
Yeah.
And that's how it spoke, but it had a bird voice, and it was speaking Blackfeet really fast. And I was just thinking about that. You know, sometimes those helpers like that, whoever's running that sweat, will have a spirit come in and it'll talk. And I was thinking about that because Rick, or what was his name? Because my buddy was in that live, and we were talking. Well, I was thinking about bringing it up, and I thought, I better not. There's too many people in here I don't really know, so I better not put him on the spot.
Yeah. I mean, I've had that happen when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
My grandma gave me a name. She started calling me Shush. Shush and Apache's bear.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was, like I told you, I used to go out and stay at my grandma a lot. And one day she wanted to butcher a cow. So I helped her butcher a cow. I had to have been like maybe 12, 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And after we got done skinning it, I took the meat off and kept all the intestines because we were going to cook it later. And we got the hooves, you know, for the knees on down to the hooves. We got that off, and my grandma tells me, hey, let's go take these legs to my brother back in town. And told me to throw them back in the truck, so I did. And we started heading back into town when we're past this dump. And I saw like this brown fur that was on the other side of the station wagon that was sitting out on the other side of the dump area. I told my grandma, I said, Grandma, look, there's a dog over there. She said, you want to give it a leg? I said, yeah, I'll go take a leg to it. So she stops, and I get out, grab one of the legs, and I started making my way towards the dog, and my grandma's just walking after me, telling me to be careful. It might be a wild dog, and it might bite me. So, and as soon as I get to that station wagon, I turn the corner, and as soon as I turn the corner, there's a brown bear sitting there.
Oh.
And I stopped and I looked at it, and I remember telling me, I'm hungry. I told it, I have this. Do you want this leg? And it says, yeah. So I reached out and I offered the leg to it. And I just remember seeing its paws come up, grab the leg and pull it toward it, and it started like eating like a person.
Oh.
And it looks up at me again and says, I'm thirsty. Now, I told her, sorry, my grandma has a water in her truck, so I'll be right back. So I took off running. My grandma's still walking down. And I didn't even say one word to her. I just ran past her, ran to the truck. Because I always keep down on the water and ran to the truck.
Mm-hmm.
I went back there, grabbed that gallon. And you know, back then, they used to, when they had those hubcaps that were like a bowl, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I found one of those. And I started running back down. And as soon as I caught to my grandma, she got where the front end of the station wagon was, and she stops. And then she stops me, and she tells me, back up slowly. And I said, told her, said, no, he's thirsty. She said, what do you mean? Said, he told me he's hungry, so I gave him the lake. And now he says he's thirsty, so I'm going to give it water. She looked at me and said, is talking to you? And I told her, yeah. I said, well, if he's talking to you and tells you that he wants this, then give it to him. So I put that hubcap down. I poured the water in there and I started backing away. And my grandma tells me, go run back to the truck and get the other legs. So I ran back, grabbed the other three legs, ran back down to where this brown bear was, and I put the legs down in front of it. It looked at me and told me, thank you. My grandma just told me, come on, let's go. Let's let it and enjoy its food. Maybe it was starving. Now it'll have enough strength to go back to the mountains. So we went back to the truck and we went back to our house. And my grandma, I remember asking me, said, did you really talk to that bear? And I said, yeah, it talked. And she tells me, said, you know, you have the gift of your great grandpa. He used to be able to talk to animals too.
Dang, that's really cool, man.
Yeah. After that, she started calling me Shush. And I remember my dad asking my grandma, it's my mom's mom.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked her, so why do you call him Shush? And see, my grandma told my dad what happened. After that, he's like, okay, we'll start calling him Bear then. So they start calling me Bear.
Do you think that was a spirit?
Yeah.
Yeah, so do I.
It's funny because when I grew up, and I still went to go visit my grandma. I used to take off into the mountains, and that was my special spot, just being out there away from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one day I came across a mountain lion, and all I had with me was just a knife. And I was thinking, man, I'm going to be in for the fight of my life. And next year, that mountain lion just put his head down and turned away and started walking off. And I was like, man, it got scared of my knife. No, I'm thinking, man, no, I'm bad. I chase up my lion. And I heard something breathing real hard behind me. I turned around and there was a brown bear standing behind me.
Oh.
I was thinking, oh, okay. And then it just looked at me and started walking away. Didn't. Not one word, just walked away. Or I thought maybe that's why I'm supposed to fight, but it didn't.
It got your back on that one.
Yeah, I think it, you know how they say that it repaid its debt?
Oh, yeah. Hey, that's a cool story. Yeah, that's, you know, in our tribe, I remember when I was younger, I was going to our community college at the time. It must have been about in 2004. And somebody in our tribe had got mauled by a bear.
Yeah.
And that's really unheard of in our tribe. And I remember these old ladies talking, and they said, you know, that person got mauled because those game wardens, they were shooting those bears. And they were killing them. And they weren't supposed to be doing that. They were supposed to just tranquilize them and bring them away and drop them off and leave them, you know, like alive. We're not supposed to do that. And just that other lady said, yeah. She says, we made a treaty with those bears a long time ago. And we agreed that we would never harm them and they'd never harm us. She said, I was just listening to them because they're in my same class and it was during break. And they knew I was listening because I was looking over at them and they'd look over at me too. And I was just, you know, really paying attention. And that other lady said, yep, we're not supposed to do that. And I've heard that other places too, but, you know, come to think of it, I should probably ask somebody at the at those ceremonies more about that.
Yeah, I mean, here, my grandma used to say, those are your great, parents, grandparents, but your ancestors. When we leave this world, our spirit becomes the bear. That's what she used to tell me.
Well, geez, if you ever seen a bear and it was skinned out, oh, they look like humans.
Yeah.
Yeah, they look like humans. Kind of creepy.
Yeah, I mean, the one I came face to face with, you know, the eyes, I can still remember the eyes. It just, it looked like a person.
Jeez, I don't know what I would have done. I'm just trying to envision that. Like, oh, I would have been scared.
Yeah, and I was a kid too.
Yeah. Yeah, no problem. I don't know what I would have done. I probably just froze. Oh, but you were meant to see that though, so it was different.
Yeah. I mean, I thought I'd seen a dog, and now when I think about it, I said, man, what kind of dog is you can see over a station wagon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember, like, when we were first talking, that horseman you were talking about, here's this other guy on the podcast, too, so if you listeners are curious, revert back somewhere, Arlen Potts tells a story about seeing a horseman, but Barry, the way he described it was, it looked everything like a regular horse, like everything, but it was walking biped, and it just kind of had a vest on. Some kind of a vest. He said it looked like a black leather vest, if I remember right. That's what he said. And it was just walking. He was a little kid. He was playing around kind of further away from his house, kind of playing around. It used to be like this old junkyard over there. It's not there anymore, but that's where that thing, he said he just had this feeling to look up. He looked up and he seen it walking. It didn't even look at him. Just kept walking into that junkyard.
Dang.
Yeah, he said it was kind of standing up, and just when I was at that last Ocon or Sundance, we were telling stories that night too, and another guy that lives out there, he's seen something. Him and this other guy he was with would be his brother-in-law. They were driving kind of down toward the river, in the direction of the river, but across the river, there's these hills, and up there, he's seen this thing. He said, and it was running funny. He said, just the way it was running, because they stopped, and they were looking at it. Like, oh, look at that thing. Like, wonder, is that a bear? What is that? They're just kind of, you know, really looking at it, and finally, they just kind of witnessed. Well, they were trying to make sense of what they were seeing. They could see it. They were just trying to make sense of it. Here there was another herd of horses it was running toward.
Yeah.
And those horses noticed it, and their stud took off and went out and met that horse thing that was coming.
Yeah.
And when they met like that horseman, he stood up, and he quit trying to run like that. He stood up, but he only had the rear half of a horse, if I'm understanding his story correct. It didn't have like the four legs, it just had the rear two, and the top was a man, but it was running funny, he said, because when it stood up, it stood up like it was like almost like it swung toward his jaw, like took a punch, you know, at his jaw, and that stud reared its head back, like threw its head back and took off with those other horses and led them away. But that thing went back down and start trotting down into this little coulee, and it never came back out.
Man.
Yeah. There are stories of that horse, man. It's really weird, but there are stories of that.
My grandma said that, because my grandpa used to be a cowboy and help out when they were around, roundups for branding.
Mm-hmm.
She said that my grandpa was out there towards our lake, St. Carlos Lake, and he was out looking for some stray cows, and when his horse just that got spooked and bucked him off. So my grandpa, when he hit the ground, so he just got up and started getting mad at his horse. I was saying, "What's wrong with you? Why'd you do that?" He started walking to the horse, and next thing I said, this other cowboy just walks out of nowhere and starts talking to my grandpa in Apache, you know, like, "Hey, are you okay? Do you need any help?" And my grandpa kind of had that uneasy feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And check on and start telling him, no, I'm okay. I'm okay. I can go walk over and get my horse myself. But a cowboy said, okay, well, I'll be walking in this direction if you need my help. And when my grandpa was walking to his horse and caught him by the reins, so he turned and looked at the cowboy. You know, he had a cowboy shirt on, his hat. And started looking down, he had his chaps, and when he looked down at his feet, so he saw hoofs instead of boots.
Yeah.
And said that cowboy just walked into the mesquite and just disappeared.
What kind of hoofs were they? Like horse hoofs?
He said that all he said was hoofs. They just looked like hoofs.
Wonder if they were split or if they were. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. I mentioned I was a police officer, and there's a railroad track there, a train that goes through our reservation.
Mm-hmm.
It goes from one at the east end to the west end. So a couple of years ago, we had a couple of cars derail just outside of one of our communities, Paradox. And I was one of the officers that responded and showed up on the scene. And I'm talking to the conductor, one of the conductors, and he tells me, that's a spooky land out here. And I looked down, I said, what are you talking about? He said, between here and the other town that starts with the B, I told him Bylis, and he said, yeah. So one night we're coming through, and something was hitting the locomotive, and it was hitting the cabin hard. So one of the guys I work with decides to walk out, and he steps out on the side, starts shining his light. He said he came back into the cab real as fast as he could, just slammed the door behind him, and said, just make this thing go as fast as you can. I asked him, so what's going on? I said, just look out there. So he walked over to the window and shined a light. He said there was a group of horsemen that were chasing after and throwing rocks to the locomotive.
Whoa. And they had four legs?
Yeah. That's all he said was they were horsemen. He said they looked like those Greek horses, those centaurs.
Yeah.
And I was like, man. He said, yeah. So after that conductor that had seen them, said he quit. So he doesn't want to. He told the company, said, I don't want to go through the reservation no more. He said that's some bad stuff that goes on out there.
Oh, cripes. Yeah, that would be pretty. That would be a hard pill to swallow, you know, especially somebody not from around there, not, you know, never heard of them. Oh, just to see them like that. Wow. Okay, so Barry and I, we recorded a part two to this, and that part two is going to be a members-only episode over on Patreon, so if you want to hear the second part of Barry's stories, come on over there, sign up for your account, and let's get on it that way. I took notes, let me refer back to these. In the part two, We talk about UFOs, more about the horseman. He talks about this hitchhiker and Bigfoot stories. So that's just a kind of overview of what we talk about on the members only. So yeah, that was Barry from the San Carlos Apache Reservation. I really appreciate him coming on. And if you want to find out more, I mean, I've had him mention it all the time in his talks, but he's Apache Storyteller. That's his name, Apache Storyteller on TikTok. You can find a lot of his stories on TikTok. So yeah, check out Barry. And Barry, thank you. Thank you for coming on. Really appreciate it. If we could do this again in the future, let's do it, man. Yeah. All right, everybody. Until next time.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.